It's 63 and a one-on-one session with, well, City Matters, as we typically welcome in City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff of City of Bartlesville. But I get elected City Councilman and members of the staff of City of Bartlesville. Mike Bailey, start me off. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Well, it takes three of us to replace Ed, so.
At least.
And we may or may not be successful. We'll see how this goes. How are you doing this morning, Charlie?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
That's fantastic.
September temperatures usually are not this nice.
No.
Rainfall is usually not this abundant. It is, if I can borrow a phrase from Sherry Wilt, Chamber of Commerce weather.
You can thank them for it. You're entirely correct. We're not in charge of the weather. The chamber is.
Okay, that works for me. Well, you have several announcements, I think, to start us off.
Yeah, we do. We have a few things going on. In fact, I've got Terry Lauritsen here. He is the utilities director, and wastewater.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Well, I don't know if I want to go that far.
Knows where to find all.
There you go. Knows who to ask.
Or carries and all. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Well, we've got some lane closures on Tuxedo. Now, this is Tuxedo west of Highway 75. There will be some lane closures there for the next 3 to 4 months. This is a waterline project that Terry is doing. It's the westbound, the outside westbound lane, portions of it will be closed for the next 3 to 4 months. So just wanted everybody to be aware of that. They can avoid it if they want. If not, then just be prepared.
I think if you don't avoid it, you'll run into a bunch of barricades.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, and I just got back. In fact, Terry picked me up on the way here from a ceremony that the fire department honor guard was putting on.
Oh.
And this was in honor of September 11th. They did a flag ceremony and did a great job. And I thought if you'll bear with me this morning, I would read the letter that I received from Chief Banks that was the announcement of that.
Please do.
Unfortunately, it's too late for anybody to attend, but next year be aware that this goes on. It was a great ceremony. So I'll just read this. It says, "This Monday is September 11th. On this day, 16 years ago, 19 members of Al-Qaeda hijacked 4 U.S. commercial airlines and crashed them into the north and south towers of the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. A total of 2,977 people were killed, including 343 firefighters, 23 New York City police officers, and 37 officers at the Port Authority. So this morning at 9 a.m., the Honor Guard retired a flag and did a ceremony in honor of those that were lost. So it was a great ceremony. It's a sad day for our country, obviously, as we remember those events. But it was a chance to sort of grieve for a moment and then move on again.
It is. But those who visit those sites, there are appropriate markers and remembrances for those lives that were lost and those that gave service throughout the next several days.
That's right. It was obviously truly powerful. I hope one day to visit there. I don't have a great desire to visit New York, but I would love to go to that site especially.
We'll just have Scotty beam you in there.
And then just for that.
Just for that. It's really nice. I would also recommend at least the Statue of Liberty, maybe Ellis Island, and then beam you home.
There you go. Yeah. A couple of things. If I could just hit those and then get out, I think I'd be happy.
Okay.
I brought Mr. Kane, Councilmember John Kane, and that is John J. Kane for anybody who's looking for him. If you call the office and ask for John Kane, it amuses the assistant who answers the phone.
Yeah, because they probably get to visit the entire Kane family genealogy.
This is it, and she kind of threw me into vapor lock one time when she asked me which one after laughing, and I could not for the life of me remember his middle initial, but. I said the young one, and she said, "I have several of those."
So the one with his picture on the city website.
I said the
I'm
one
not
who's
talking about the 10 most wanted.
There you go. The one who's on the city council. Okay.
Well, the young one will be 3 tomorrow. See,
so yeah, that's it. Now there's a really young one.
In case you missed that off-microphone comment, there is a celebration of a 3-year-old tomorrow. So.
Also a John Kane. The tradition in the family continues. Correct.
No, just the unoriginality of the family.
See, I kind of like that. There was no thought. You knew. There's a formula. It works.
Saved us a conversation as far as the name is concerned.
It works for you guys. So, well, I have John on for a couple of reasons, but I thought we would start by talking about Leadership Bartlesville. And I realize that's not a City of Bartlesville program, but it is really important to the City of Bartlesville.
From which you, by the way, also are a graduate.
I am. In fact, all three of us are graduates of Leadership Bartlesville. So both Terry, John, and I all graduated from Leadership Bartlesville. Terry is the city's leadership Bartlesville. You are the leadership Bartlesville. You're the coordinator for the city of Bartlesville. So the program goes through our community and does a lot of different things. And Terry is the one that coordinates the day for the local government.
I understand most recently you solved a lot of TIF problems.
We did. We had a great day on, was it Thursday that we hosted the class?
Yes.
We had a great day there. And it always is a lot of fun. And John is the co-chair of Leadership Bartlesville, which means that he and Lacey Longacre Gittinger, I should change her name. I don't mind when they get married, but the changing of the names is very confusing.
Old
to
habits
me.
Die hard.
That's it. She'll always be Longacre to me. So, but John is the co-chair.
You go to high school class reunions and you find all these women you've never met. You know?
That's it. They look familiar, but they have different names.
Yeah.
Well, and so John is co-chairing it now, and I was the co-chair before him, and I gladly surrendered the leadership of the program to him, and I think he's done a great job. They had a great class yesterday. So, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to John, and he can talk a little bit more about the program.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. John, nice to have you back in here.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for having me, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about Leadership Bartlesville. It's a great platform to do so. It really is a wonderful program, and I'm excited to be a part of it. As Mike said, I am a co-chair with Lacey Gittinger. I'm going to give her husband Aaron the respect he deserves by using her last name. Lacey and I co-chair the program, but it really is a community effort. Our facilitators, like Terry for the city, really help make the program go and give us the content that we need to make the program as successful and unique as it is. And then Jen Callahan is the staff member at the chamber who really helps behind the scenes make sure that our days are in order, our name tags are there, food's where it needs to be, transportation is arranged. And so there's a lot of work that goes on throughout the program, and so it certainly needs to be recognized. So the program, for those who may not be familiar with it, is basically a community immersion program is the best way that I've found to describe it. There are 10 full-day sessions from August through, or September, let's say, through May, mm-hmm. That focus on various areas of our community. We had local government, we have criminal justice, education, healthcare, community service, we have large business, small business. We go to Day at the Capitol in Oklahoma City in April, and they're full-day experiences for a class of 25 to 30 to get together, become better acquainted with each other, and to become more knowledgeable about the community in which we all live. So everybody really comes out of the program with a very positive attitude towards the experience that they had through Leadership Bartlesville, and if not a renewed sense of purpose or passion in the community, and more often than not, individuals will come out of the program with ideas to go forward to become involved or further their involvement in Bartlesville.
It seems to be built to really educate a person as far as what goes on in and around our community, whether you grew up here or whether you were transplanted here 6 months ago.
Yeah, and there are both of those, both of those kinds of participants, and their opinions are. Are valued, and their experiences are different, but that's what makes it a neat program. So we anybody is eligible to apply. Applications typically start rolling in July, and we'll conduct an interview process at the end of July, and then the class will start in August. So that's kind of the start of the program, and we have class members from our major corporations, major community partners, and we have small business participants, education from all the areas of the community which we tour. We have representatives in the class, and so that part is neat. It really is kind of a neat fabric to make up the class. So it's really fun. There are, Mike is pointing at your O's look a lot like D's. Mike is pointing at the ConocoPhillips and the Phillips.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah, for sure. The ConocoPhillips and the Phillips 66 process. I'm not completely familiar with it, but I believe you basically apply with your supervisor there at those companies, and then they'll make a recommendation to an executive team at the respective companies, and you'll be selected from that point forward to go ahead and submit an application to Leadership Bartlesville. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the interview process will start with us. So it's a fairly lengthy startup process, but I think it's valuable to make sure that we've drawn together the best class we can draw.
Over the course of accumulating Roman numerals of class numbers, the program has changed, grown, and evolved, but the basic concept of what you're doing and why you're doing it remains the same.
You're exactly right. We're on class 27 now, which is exciting. Fun to meet class members from one, and they always scratch their heads and can't believe it's been that many years now. But it hasn't been 27 years, because you used to have two classes
in
a year.
Yeah.
And so we stretched that out.
They were all consecutive Fridays.
Was it Fridays? It's Thursdays now.
Yeah.
But it was all consecutive Thursdays. Boy, that's a heck of a time crunch.
Quite a commitment.
And so we had some requests from potential class members to maybe stretch that out a little bit, that it was difficult for them to be gone so frequently from work. So I guess this is our third year of having it.
Yeah.
It's our third year of having it.
Yep. It was my last year. And
yep. Third year of having it stretch from August to May, where it will be one session a month. And early on in the program, we will sprinkle in a couple of lunches to get the class together more frequently and start building some rapport amongst the class. And so it's a great program. It does seem like it lasts forever, though, from an administration standpoint, because there's no break, right? So you're finished in May, and you start accepting applications in June. And so you just pretty much are constantly working on
leadership
Bartlesville. But it is a wonderful program, and I'm excited to be involved with it. And I can speak for Lacey also, that we work really well together, and that sure makes it easy for both of us, because it's a fun experience and something that is very rewarding personally.
And as you look at the history of the class, for not only do the class membership benefit, but I think you spill over to your coworkers, you spill over to family and friends, and I would not want to start enumerating all the different work that is done through those class projects, the monetary donations for an item, and if I start naming them, I'll be wrong on half of them.
Sure.
But, you know, we have reminders all over town.
There are quite a few landmarks, I guess, that can be attributed to Leadership Bartlesville. You know, anywhere from their benches in downtown, which are a nice addition to downtown. The sign at Johnstone Park is a recent completion. There's a new kind of a recreational facility for outdoor cooking and at Command Central at the new police and fire station. Mm-hmm. There have been endowments set up. There's miniature golf at the kiddie park. So there's a lot of just good projects that come out of this process, and that's just one of the benefits to the community. And the main benefit, though, is the fostering and cultivating of community leaders and people that will take a real interest in the development of our community. And that's the fun part, to see the excitement there.
Who is the class aimed to? Who makes the best typical class member?
Well, that's a great question, and there are so many good different kinds of class members, if that makes sense. But I think if I could put my finger on one quality that is the most important for me, is somebody that is passionate about being in Bartlesville, is passionate about developing our community and going out and making a positive difference in our community. And that could be in any number of areas. It could be in economic development. It could be in community service. But just somebody that is excited about Bartlesville and making it the community that we all want it to be and continue to grow it into that. So that, I think, is a quality or an explanation. I think that's the best thing that I look for.
If that's the best answer available, I'll take it. That's fine.
You always get that from me. Best answer available. Maybe a bad one, but it's the best one I have.
Well, but as a graduate, as a leader of the program, that's part of what you're looking to instill is, at least as I see it, people who will, I hate to use this term, take their place in the community.
Absolutely. You want people that want to find a sense of purpose here, and you want people that want to be involved, be it in a local government committee, which we actually had a couple applications come up as of last Thursday that it sparked some interest there. So even seemingly small positions like that, which are not, but it may seem that way, it's just a committee, I'm just a volunteer, but that's what our community is based on, and that's how our community works so well.
Yeah, it doesn't, there's no prerequisite as far as someone who is new to their job. I mean, you could find people of near retirement age that are also still taking the program.
Oh, sure, yeah, age, background, I mean, it's all very diverse in the class, and I think that's by design and a really neat part of it. I mean, there's been, you know, when I was a class member, I was one of the few that were born and raised in Bartlesville, and we always get those every year, and we always have the transplants every year, the people that are maybe here for a year or two, people that are younger professionals, people that are more seasoned professionals. There are a lot of different kinds of class members, and that's, I think, what makes it such a unique experience, because everybody has something to learn from each other, and everybody has something to give and provide to the program in terms of perspective, and so it's really neat in that respect.
Do you even from, I'll say, Bartlesville veterans, do you still find people making a comment, something to the extent of, gee, I didn't know that, when you come to a class?
Yeah, good question. Every year, and I was one of those. I felt like Mike was one of those. I felt like I was somebody that had a very good grasp on what the makeup of our community was, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, there's just so much out there that I was unaware of, and it's impossible to be aware of everything, because that's a lot of time to commit, but this at least does give you a glimpse into a lot of corners of our community.
And looking at the three of you, and I don't want to draw an incorrect conclusion, but would you say that the program is a benefit to the city?
I would absolutely say it's a benefit to the city, because you know, there are tangible benefits in the projects that the class decides to take on, but I think the more important benefit is the passion that it instills, that this program instills in its participants. And I think we get a lot of community leaders out of it, a lot of great volunteers, servant leaders. I think there are a lot of ways that the class members impact our community in very positive ways.
I have no doubt if I asked this question of a graduating class that nearly everyone in the class would give me a slightly different answer, or maybe even more than a slightly different answer. For John, what was the best part of the class for you?
You know, for me, and I think this is probably a common answer, networking is the best word I can use, but it's not necessarily professional networking. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a need in the community, if I'm serving on a nonprofit and a need arises, excuse me, then it is easy to draw on my class members, the alumni from Leadership Bartlesville, and because you'll know somebody that can maybe help with that need. And so that kind of community networking, I think, it was the most beneficial for me. You know, it's easy for me to call up to the chamber, it's easy for me to call the city, and it's all started at Leadership Bartlesville for me. And that was my biggest benefit.
Yeah, so if the conversation comes up hypothetically about something school related, you could probably say, oh, I know somebody at the school system.
Exactly. Last year we had Chuck McCauley, our superintendent, participate, and Kerry Gardner, who's now the principal at Central Middle School, participate. This year we have Ryan Huff, the new athletic and activities director for the schools. So we're always have really, really great people in the community that can affect positive change in the class.
Okay. Mr. Bailey, anything to wrap up this topic before we move on? Or?
Well, and I would touch back on, you asked what the benefit to the city was, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this today, is that this program, it does develop great leaders. It really does. And it identifies them, it brings them together, and it immerses them in the community. We love it, Terry and I do, because we get to meet all of these young leaders. And oftentimes, one of our biggest goals during this class is to recruit people. We want people. We want these people. We want these professionals, these future leaders in these companies, these up-and-comers. We want them on our committees, and we push really hard for that. So we really try to immerse them in it. We try to sell them on the benefits, you know, to get them to understand that the city of Bartlesville, well, it's their government. You know, it's hard to believe that the federal government is your government at times, because it's so far away and it's so big and it's so controversial. The city's not like that. It is really close. I mean, it's run by your friends and your neighbors. You know, I think that, you know, that John was in the class, and since then, would you say your community involvement has increased?
Definitely.
And in fact, I think that to some degree it might be partially responsible for you running for council. Would you disagree?
I would not disagree.
So I think that those kinds of things are a huge benefit to us as an organization and to a city and a government. We need this fresh blood. We need these fresh ideas, and we're always excited about it. So that, like I said, that was one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. I would encourage anybody who has an interest to contact the chamber. I believe you do have to be a chamber member to be in Leadership Bartlesville.
You don't have to be, but it's encouraged, and we give preferential treatment to chamber members.
And in fact,
it's part of that return on investment in chamber membership.
Sure.
Yeah. In fact, we've had small companies that joined the chamber specifically because they wanted to put somebody in Leadership Bartlesville. So it's a great program, and and I really do. I'm very proud of that program. I'm very proud of what it's become and what it is today. So, but and with that, one of the involvements that Mr. Kane has is that he is, as a council member, sits on committees. One of the committees that he sits on is the Sanitary Sewer Improvement Oversight Committee. We've been arguing about what that title is all the time. Terry's giving me a fist bump, so I think I got it right.
All right.
And recently there has been a very large facility plan for wastewater that has come through, and I know it's been in the works for a number of years. I think we had a draft of it maybe 7 years ago, something of that nature, when Mr. Hall was still here. Terry is now the director in charge of this project.
Congratulations.
And so I'm gonna let him talk some about that. This is a very large and very important project. It's very important to us as a community, and you'll find as he talks that not only is it about wastewater, which I realize is a very boring topic, it also ties into our water supply and to our long-term future as a city.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Mr. Lauritsen, thank you so much for coming this morning.
Good morning, Charlie. You know, Leadership Bartlesville and wastewater really are a natural fit, aren't they? I mean, that's just a natural segue from
leadership. Leave it to an engineer to find that common ground somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's in that fresh perspective.
Okay. That's the class. They got a really up-close look at our wastewater program.
They certainly did. They really got to see components in motion with that. So that's a kind of an eye-opening experience for them. But let me, before we get into the facility plan, I'll give a little history of what brought us to this point. And it really started back in the 90s. We were having a lot of problems with our wastewater system. And we've done a number of improvements over the years, but
for those that were not here, then we're talking about when we would get a extra heavy rainfall that the sanitary sewer would overflow into homes, into the stormwater system. We had a lot of problems, particularly on the west side of town.
We did, and that's a good explanation of it. But the wastewater system just couldn't carry that water when you included the rain events to get it, to treat it, and get it environmentally safe. And so we've been working on that for the last 20 plus years to correct it. Back in the mid 2000s, probably 2004, 2005, it became apparent by the studies that we've done and the improvements that were finished to that point that the bottleneck would ultimately lead to the wastewater treatment plant, that we could get all the wastewater to the plant, but the plant just lacked the capacity to treat it. And so in 2007, they started what's called a facility plan, but that in essence looked at what improvements do you need to make to the plant to basically treat the water that gets to it. And so they completed the plan in 2010, and at the time they looked at two options. One is to expand the existing treatment plant, or the second was to build a secondary treatment plant south of town. And council at the time chose the secondary plant south of town. Well, I'm going to jump over to water and water supply. So, you know, normally wastewater and water supply aren't in the same conversation.
They probably are mutually exclusive in many cases.
Very much so. But on our water supply standpoint, many people that have been around Bartlesville for quite some time understood that in 2001 we had a significant drought, really revealed some vulnerabilities in our water supply during a drought scenario. And really since that time, the city has been working to secure additional water supply for our long-term needs. And they did a study in 2007 and completed it, which basically pointed to Copan Lake to secure the additional water rights. That's a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers owned lake, and the cost to purchase those storage rights was excessive and just didn't make sense from an economic perspective to pursue that. So to try to get some relief from that, we have to literally get an act of Congress to change the formula for that, and they've been working on that and currently working on that to date. But we just haven't seen much headway with that. Here recently, back in 2012, the state, because of another drought-type scenario, the state pursued and actually approved legislation that, in essence, opened the door for water reuse. And what that is you take your treated wastewater and you put it through some sort of environmental buffer, a lake, a river, what have you, and then you retake it, treat it, and then use it for drinking. And so that was not on the board or consideration back in 2007 when we were looking at water supply. And in 2012, that opened the door for it. So we decided to take a look at our wastewater treatment plant and our water supply chain, in the sense that we have two components of that are very close together. Our wastewater treatment plant sits on the Caney River, but it sits less than a quarter mile downstream of a water intake, our water intake structure in Johnstone Park. And so a reuse type scenario looks very feasible from us, from just locations of where our facilities are located at. And so back last year, council approved a contract with our engineering firm to relook at our facility plan, but look at water reuse to see if it's even feasible for us to pursue that. And so the engineer presented this last Tuesday at the council meeting, but basically what it boiled down to is reuse is a feasible application for us in that we can pump either about 1.5 million gallons per day all the way up to 4 million gallons per day to reuse into the Caney River. And our reuse scenario is we're looking at pumping that water or that treated wastewater roughly 5 miles upstream in the Caney River, letting it blend with the Caney River water and then reusing that and treating it and having that available for drinking. And so the other component of that facility plan was to reevaluate the two options that they looked at before, either keeping all the flows at the wastewater plant and expanding it or building a secondary plant south of town. And so the consultant went through that and basically they updated all the costs with that. The good news obviously is that reuse is feasible. The bad news is that it's the wastewater plant side is very expensive to do. And so the two costs that that they derived from that scenario, that analysis, is if we expand the existing wastewater treatment plant, we're looking at just over $49 million to make all those improvements. Now, if we look at a secondary plant south of town, we're looking at roughly $65 million for that type of scenario. And so we presented that to council just as a presentation discussion, and I thought they did a good presentation. We had a lot of good feedback and comments and inquiries with it. We did make the same presentation to one of our oversight committees, the Sanitary Sewer Improvement Oversight Committee. They made the recommendation to go to council to expand the existing wastewater treatment plant. So to kind of change course a little bit from what we did before. So what we're planning to do is to make a presentation again to council here in an upcoming meeting, and then have council make the decision as far as do we want to keep with the secondary plant south of town option, or do we want to change course a bit and expand the existing treatment plant and really open up the a much larger reuse potential if we do that. So, John sits both on the committee and obviously on council, and so he heard both presentations, and he could almost probably make the presentation, I think, after the second one. But
a little bit of coaching, maybe.
But it was, there's a lot of information there. We are going to have the presentation and some information on our website. I think that Kelly's posted some information, or will post some information about the presentation and the options and stuff on the website. But it's a very complicated matter. It's been an item both on the water and wastewater side that's been in the works for 10 years or longer. So there's a lot of history and a lot of evaluation that's taken place with it. And so that's something that we're not taking lightly, and I don't think council's taking lightly with this type of investment. But we're looking at not only fulfilling the need that we have both on the wastewater side, but maybe securing some needs that we'll have on the water supply side. So this project has the potential for both, and we're excited to keep moving with it.
You commented on a previous program that while this may be relatively new to the state of Oklahoma, it has been going on across the nation for some time.
Well, it has. There's 9 states that have reuse regulations in place. Out west, it's a very common thing to reuse wastewater. They do it a little bit different than what we're looking to do it. But Washington State, Arizona, Florida, they all have reuse regulations and communities that do reuse. Texas has the only community that does what they call direct potable reuse. And that's a little different in the sense that they have the ability to pump or to pipe their treated wastewater right to their water treatment plant. And that was done by some droughts that they took place. But it's out there. It's been used. So this is not new technology, new concept. It's just somewhat new to the state of Oklahoma.
But if you'd like to serve on the committee, you can make your application through the city manager's office, download the paperwork from cityofbartlesville.org. All 3 of you, thank you so much for coming in.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
That's City Matters on K1.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville.